Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. I guess I keep talking to myself about that as I continue to age. Amen, knowing that New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are listening by internet, You can call in. We are an interactive Bible study, and we do open the channels. When the speaker opens up the mic and you have an opportunity to ask a question or to share what God has placed on your heart as we go through this journey together biblically. Tonight we will be in Waldorf, Maryland. Amen. We're in Waldorf, Maryland, and we do look forward to Bishop Larry D. Palmer, who will be speaking this evening. Amen. We also like to let you know that any message that has been recorded, you can go to our archives and you can pull it up, and you would go to Blog Talk Radio. Once you go into Blog Talk Radio, then you would look for New Beginnings Ministries and then type in We Can Begin Again, any of the 335 archives that we have done over the last few years. Amen. And be blessed. Be blessed. Right now, we're going to move on over to close friend of mine, Larry D. Palmer, who was born out of Princeton, West Virginia. Amen. He has accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord of his Savior, since August of 1982. Amen. Bishop Palmer also has his Doctorate of Philosophy in Religious Studies. Amen. He's been in the service as an engineer, and he's married to the beautiful First Lady, Bishop Brenda Palmer. Amen. A true woman of God. So we're going to move on over into Maryland, and we're going to move out of the way and let God take over as Bishop Palmer takes over the mic. Amen. Bishop Palmer.
Well, thank you, my friend, Elder Clay. It's good again to be with you all on the airways. Thank you so very much with Elder Clay and his wonderful wife, Suzanne. We have a word from the Lord tonight that I hope that you all will enjoy. We do want to make it interactive, though, and I pray that you will dial in, call in, questions you may have about what God has laid out for us. We want you to be able to understand what God has for you from this Word of God. I think it is appealing, interesting, and certainly demanding for us to hear in the times that we find ourselves in how we are to please the Lord. The Bible tells us, and all we get an understanding. So tonight we pray that your understanding will be open and clear, that you may be able to do what is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Let me just begin by reading a short portion of a scripture from Psalms. I know we have already engaged in prayer, and we thank God for the prayer tonight and for the introduction from Elder Clay. I want to get directly into the Word of God, which comes from Psalm 56. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for a man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God will I praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." If you drop down to verse 9, it says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." Verse 10 says, "In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." So, The author here in Psalms 56 is declaring that I'm all in for God. And that's portion of what we're talking about tonight, being all in for God with sincere faith. I want to let you know that faith is the foundation of how we serve the Lord, and faith has several levels. When we say someone to define faith, one on the line may go directly to Hebrews 11:1, which tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That is certainly true, but it is a foundational faith that we have to start and build upon. So tonight we're going to discover that our faith goes a little bit further than that, and the type of faith that we then have to please the Lord. Tonight we'll be discussing our sincere faith. We have the foundational faith, but our sincere faith, and we do that through the book of Daniel. Let me just open the airway with those who are on the line. There's no trick questions that we're asking you, but just responses so that we can all be on one accord. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, two cannot walk together except they agree. So just if you would open your mics and respond to me. Anyone on the line, how many Hebrew boys were there in the chapters of Daniel?
Four.
Can you tell me who they were?
Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
That is correct. That is the exact answer that I thought would come as a response. Thank you so very much, and you are correct. Nevertheless, those are the names that Nebuchadnezzar gave to the Hebrew boys, and those are the names that we recognize most often. It's like giving a name that's really not yours and you answer to. When I was a young man, I had a nickname. I won't tell you what it was, but I had a nickname, and I would answer to that nickname, but now I don't answer to that nickname because it really wasn't my name. That was a name because of my character that I had at that time that people decided to give me. And some of us have nicknames, or names that people decide to give you that's really not your name, Pookie and you know, Bella or whoever you may be called. And we respond to those names. But those are really not our names. Those are names people give us sometimes out of fun and sometimes out of the character that we betray. But the names of these four Hebrew boys were really Daniel. That one is usually common. Everyone usually knows Daniel because he was very seldom called Belteshazzar. The other three were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so we very, very, very seldom call them by their name because the activity of the text leads us to Shadrach, Mishael, and Abednego. But those were not truly the names. They're godly names. Those were names that were given by a godless king. So just as a punch, just remember that. Tonight, I'm going to give you 12 points that I want you to remember. If you have pen and paper beside, that was one nugget that I want to give. But I want to give you 12 other or 11 other nuggets. Why, when we have sincere faith, that we're all in with God. And to be all in is to really trust in him, as it says in Proverbs 3:5, 6, and 7, that we trust in the Lord and we lean not to our own understanding in all of our ways. In all of our ways, we shall acknowledge him. Why? Because he shall indeed direct our paths. Supernatural works comes from the word when it is implanted in you, and you work the word of God that you possess. Supernatural works. Especially when it says, like it says in Psalms 56, when we're all in and we trust God for all things and we really doubt him for nothing. So the first thing tonight was, yes, the four Hebrew boys, but their true names are different than the names we usually use. As a matter of fact, their godly name, Hananiah, it meant the grace and mercy and the gift of the Lord, versus that of the name he was given for Shadrach, which means that he was associated as a slave of Nebo, or a coup that was an ungodly name. So Shadrach was really not the name that he adored, though he answered to. Meshach was one that said it draws with force. That is his ungodly name. But Michelle says that's one who is like God. Azariah, known now to us as Abednego, meaning that he was helped by God, but Abednego meant he was a servant of light and shining. Daniel, of course, one that we use mostly, that was common, is a judge of God, but Belteshazzar was meant for him to protect the king. That's why the king went out and wanted these young men without blemish to come and to be part of his regime. So just as an introduction, those are pearls and those are things that we want to know as we enter into the study on the first chapter of Daniel. Does anyone at this point have any questions or input? Okay, let's get started. From the scriptures taken from chapter 1 in Daniel, we're talking about sincere faith. And when you have sincere faith, it's different than just having a normal faith. You see, when you're sincere about something, you start to put all the other foolish stuff aside. You can have some foolish faith and still be faithful in it. But when you have sincere faith, you put away some of the childish things that you used to do, and now my faith is more sincere than that originally that I was calling being faithful. In relationships, when it comes to us loving one another, we want to have a sincere relationship. Have you ever been around someone who is very humorous, comical, but they play all the time? They really play all the, to the point where you don't think that they have any kind of sincere bone in their body. And then when they become sincere, it seems to be more tragic than it is great for the conversation, I must say, for lack of better words. But when you see someone that has sincere faith, I am faithful, it's certain things that I play with, and then there are certain things that I don't. This is the mindset of our character tonight in Daniel. He had sincere faith. As a matter of fact, his faith was so sincere that he challenged the eunuch there that was over them, the overseer. We know the story when he says, We just don't want to eat any of the king's meat. Let us, this is Daniel speaking, let us eat what we have, the vegetables that you have, and let your folks, the other folks that you have chosen, eat from the king's table. And in 10 days, look at us. Take a look and see if we're not healthier than the rest of those who you gave everything. Actually, the eunuch didn't want to do it, but he said Daniel was so sincere in his appeal that he says, I want to see if these supernatural works of these young men will work in the kingdom of God. So we know the story. After 10 days, we found out, or they found out, that these young men were 10 times better than any of the other musicians or enchanters or anybody else that he had in the whole kingdom. That's a won't-he-do-it moment for the children of God. When you trust God in advance, before you see any evidence, we know that you are sincere about your faith. See, one of the things I think that we do in the body of Christ is that we ask God to do it for us, and then when he does it for us, then we start to shout. But the fact of the matter is, when you have sincere faith, you can shout before the evidence of God doing anything for you because you know God is going to do it.
Amen.
So we have to turn it around, and we do things for God in advance before the blessing even comes. That's sincere faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I love this story of Daniel, but it's just so much meat packed in this story that oftentimes we skip over and don't really get into to find out what is really happening with these four men. One of the things that occurs that these four men now was taken from their country. And they had to learn the language of another country. They had to learn the culture of another country. And they had to learn the etiquette of another country, speak their language, not speak their own. Can you imagine, for those who may not know or have a second language, being dropped into an environment where they give you 3 years, as these young men were given, to understand their culture and their language and to speak it fluently? I was in Germany for 8 years, and I'm not fluent in German. I know of the culture, but I don't speak fluently their language. I tried to blend in. I tried to be as Deutsch as I possibly could, especially when I would go out to restaurants and things of that nature, because I wanted them to see that I was trying to at least adjust to their culture, because I wasn't in America anymore. But I found out that as soon as I got with those who were American, I wouldn't speak Dutch. I would speak English. So I would revert back to what I knew to do best. But these young men didn't have anybody to revert back to. They had to learn the language and learn it well in 3 years. And the Bible records they knew it better than most of those that had been there all their life. That is a supernatural blessing of the Lord. God uses us. God uses us. If we will yield to his will, I am convinced with everything within me that God will use us in a mighty way to turn things around. Even though it looks like we're in a minority, God will make us the majority.
Amen.
God says in his word, and we, the children of God, will have to believe it. Now, here's a pearl. I've given you one, two, three, and now number four. Here's another pearl. This is for our children. This is something that we can pass on to our youth. When the king set out to get the Hebrew boys, he said, go look for people and these young men that have these qualifications. He says, look for those who don't have any physical defect. Now, by that, if you study closely, it says the people that you look for need to be and look like they are in shape for God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Look, mentally and physically. I mean, they smile. You know, the saints of God, oh, my God. The saints of God are some of the sourpuss. They look like they're sucking on lemons a lot of the time. They're coming to praise the Lord. And it doesn't look like they have any joy on their way to praise the Lord. We yep. need to present an image to where the world will see us different than what they see through other people.
That's right.
So the qualification said, we don't want them to have any kind of physical defect. The joy of the Lord is mine. I mean, you know, this again is the day that the Lord has made. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Let us not show a lot of physical defect. Let us not show that we are crippled. You know, nothing worse than to have a crippled saint of God, always begging, always down, and we, the body of Christ, will have to combat that so we will look like we are physically attached to God. Hello, somebody. Amen.
Amen.
So let me just put this with that. There is no reason, let me say this real clear, there is no reason for the children of God to be bogged down with debt and anchors that hold them down, because God says that he doesn't want us to live like that. Just want to make it real clear. So our physical well-being should be something, a testimony to the world that I am a child of God.
Amen.
The second thing that they ask for, to say, I want to see them handsome, these young men, which tells us no pants on the ground. No hanging down, no looking like we're broke and poor down. When we say that we are a child of Christ, we ought to demonstrate it. We ought to have the physical well-being, and we ought to have the presence of God, the stage presence of God, to show that we are different from the world.
Amen.
If not, you may not qualify. I said may not qualify. And then you show your aptitude of every kind of learning. You are well-informed, and if that's the case, you should be doing very well in school. This is something that we can pass on to our youth. These are qualifications that the king looked for. These are qualifications that are godly. These must be men of God because they got these peculiar and particular four men from this country, and they must have gone through many other young men to see if they qualify, but they picked these out to say these are the ones that are the servants of the Lord, not the servants of the Lord, that would serve the king well, not knowing they were the servants of the Lord. And then we have to be quick to understand and ready to serve our fellow man. So there were qualifications that they looked for before they even bought Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to the king. Isn't that peculiar? Are we still on? Isn't that peculiar?
Yes, sir.
So we pass on to our children, it pays to work hard. It just pays to work hard. So we can encourage them, even in their youth, work hard because these things are admirable and they are cited by God. And one day, these things are going to pay off for you. Somewhere along the line, someone's going to choose you because of your qualifications, because of your attitude. Amen. Number five. People can change our name, but you can't afford to lose your ID. Let me say it again. They changed the names of these four young boys, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They changed their names, but these young Hebrew boys did not lose their ID. They remained and knew who they were. So the people of the world call us many things. They call us Bible believers, or you're this and you're that, or you're out of your mind, or whatever the case may be. What's wrong with you doing this? Why do you pay your tithes? They call us all kind of stuff. Bible, Bibles, you name it. They give us a name to it, especially when we have sincere faith and we are attached to God. They will give us a name, but we cannot fall subject to the name that they lay on us. If you know who you are and don't lose your ID in Christ Jesus, then God is going to use you. As a matter of fact, he's going to advance you if you don't lose your ID. We are, like Daniel, at the tip of the spear. We drive the arrow, and we have to stay right there where God wants us to be. Don't get dull. Don't get involved with none of their conversations that bring you down. Always look to be pulled up and to pull others up. Hello, somebody. Too many times our church folks drop their ID, lose their ID, and they can't get back to where they need to be, where God would have them to be, because they have lost their ID. I served, Elder Clay was telling you, I served military for 3 decades in my past life. And one of the things that we taught on the very first form of days is that we are going to issue you an ID card, and wherever you find yourself, wherever you go, whatever you do, you will always have that ID card present with you. It stuck to us like a glove. Everywhere I went for 3 decades, I still carry my ID. I've been retired over 18 years, but I still keep that. It was ingrained in you. Don't lose your ID. I recall one incident when I was trying to get back on the base, and I was over a certain portion of the base, and I had left my ID in my briefcase at my desk. When I got to the gate, the young man says, "We can't let you in, sir." I say, "It's good to see you." "Well, you know who I am?" "Oh, yeah, we know who you are, sir. We know who you are, but we can't let you in because you don't have your ID." I said, "Well, you're looking at me. You call me by name." "Yes, sir, but it may be a trick. I don't know what it is. I can't let you in because you don't have your ID." And certainly they did not let me in. I had to send an executive out to go up to my office, go get my ID, come back and show that person to satisfy the fact that I had an ID and I was authorized to be on that unit base. I just believe in my spirit, man, that God was sending me a message. In order for us to get into heaven, in order for us to get into glory, we can't walk up and just, "Hey, God, I lifted my hand to you. Hey, God, I praised you one time. Hey, God, I gave you some glory once." But we're going to have the ID stamped on us. The glory of the Lord is going to have to show on us. Before the gate will open, we're going to have our ID. And it's going to have to be some authentication that says that we're qualified to enter in. So I believe that's what God has with these young boys that had the mindset to do what God told them to do. Let me go to number 7, because this is a good one. When you change and you have to start speaking someone else's language, when you have to start doing someone else's culture, these are men that were trained to do it. The great thing that I like about this is that Daniel was over and telling the other Hebrew boys, they seem to have talked very little, because the chapter really highlights Daniel as the spokesman for all of the Hebrew boys. And he really captivated the eunuch and the king's thoughts. He says, "Look, let us," as Daniel speaking, "let us not defile ourselves," he's speaking for the four, "and eat of the king's meat. Let us bow out for 10 days and just eat vegetables." So what that meant to me in the word of God is that those three had to follow the one that God had anointed and appointed to speak. Help us, somebody.
Yeah.
So the mindset is that you may be a really sincere servant of God, but you don't have to say stuff most of the time, especially when God has appointed a spokesman. You don't have to talk. That's all you have to do is do. Be doers of the word. Amen. And not just hearers of the word.
Amen.
Sometimes, I'm just going to use sometimes as that superlative, sometimes we got to give up what we have in order to get what we need. No harm can come to us when we're really in the center of the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So number 6, you've heard the term, "When Rome do as the Romans do." Is that a familiar term? It came out way back around St. Augustine's time, you know, "When Rome do as the Romans do," and, you know, "When in Vegas," you know, "What's done in Vegas," and all that stays in Vegas, and you know the terms that they use in the world now to try to hide the things that we have done. But these boys taught us a lesson that's really admirable for the kingdom of God. And when you have the mindset to do what God tells you to do, doors will open. When you act as an apostle of God, God will open doors for you. If these young men had not followed the leader, if they had not followed the mind and the heart of Daniel, then they would have failed. Not just one of them, they would have all failed. because the king knew that these were a group of boys that were together, stand together, and believe the same thing together. So when you fail God, you create collateral damage for your brother or sister. Help us now, Lord. Mm-hmm. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Absolutely you are. So we have to be all in. We really have to be all in. When we say we are all in. Number seven, when Daniel, when he appealed to this unit, he says, I'm not going to become obnoxious about it. Say, hey, I ain't going to eat your stuff. Just forget it. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. God told me not to do it, and I ain't going to do it. He did not. He went to the humble stage that he had in his spirit to humbly ask the man, please, let us do what God has appointed us to do. You see, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but as we go over, and we may get some tonight, but if you go over to the next chapters, we'll find out that these same Hebrew boys had to not only have sincere faith, but their faith had to move from sincerity to boldness. Because King Nebuchadnezzar had set up Nebo, a statue that was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and then when the music came and the decibels sounded, everybody had to bow before it, and they were setting these young Hebrew boys up because they know that they were excelling above those who were even in the country. But we're going to find that very imperative as we move closer to seeing what kind of bold faith they really have. But let me just stay right here on sincere faith for a minute. You cannot help yourself from doing and building in the will of God when you are an ambassador of God. Your lips are controlled. Your mind is controlled. Your heart is controlled as an ambassador of God. One thing about an ambassador of a nation, an ambassador of a country, an ambassador of a church, they only do what they are told to do. They don't have none of their own opinion. They don't put it in. I only say what I am told to say by the king or by the king of kings. Amen. I wish it were a prophet on the line, because the prophet knows that I just can't go out and prophesy something that God has not said. If so, then you'll be declared as a false prophet, even if your opinion that you may have may sound good, may even feel good for you to say, and the people may even receive it good, but it didn't come from God, you're not an ambassador of God. Amen. Number nine. Leadership is based on followership. I'll say it again. Leadership is based on followership. If you don't learn how to follow, it's going to be very difficult for you to learn how to lead. Most people want to lead, but they don't have the ability to follow. So your following skills really sharpens your leadership skills. If we are the type that want to be in charge all the time and we can't follow anyone, then our leadership skills will be dulled by our inability to be able to follow. The saying goes that no one wants to follow a parked car. In other words, if your leadership skills are not tuned, if your leadership skills are not in tune with that in the Word of God, especially in a spiritual sense, then nobody really wants to follow you. Daniel used tactful approaches and getting him, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah in favor of the king. And his tactful tactics caused him to be a threat to all of them because of his leadership skills. When we become to the point where we know how to follow and now we begin to lead, just get ready for the resistance because it's coming. Hello, somebody. We have to put ourselves in, embrace, put on the full armor of God, and get ready to go to the front line of the battle. Now let me tell you what God did. Number 10, God gave these Hebrew boys knowledge and understanding of all kinds, and literature and meaning and learning and visions. God gave that to them because he knew that they had to face a really worthy opponent, that of the people that were under the king, Nebuchadnezzar, that thought, the musicians, all of those who thought that they can do better and trick people into believing things. Some people are very good with card tricks. Some people are very good with being very elusive on the things we do. We know that, oh, that's impossible to do. I don't know how you do that. How'd you pull that card out of your sleeve? They have all of these evasive things to make you see what you really don't see. And they're good at it. They practice it. They go through shows over and over and over and over and over. All of these tricks of the enemy. But unfortunately, that kind of spirit sometimes eases into the church, where people make you think you're seeing something, but it's really not there. And that is when we have to have the power of the Holy Ghost working within us. I don't know if you remember Jonah. Let me just skip to Jonah and say, I don't know if you remember. Jonah was the only preacher in history that was disappointed when his preaching did exactly what it's supposed to do. He went out and preached to people and did exactly what God told him to do. The people responded, and the preacher got upset because the people did exactly what his word told him to do. I don't know about you, but I certainly don't want to be Jonah. When God blesses someone and people respond as they should, that leadership should cause us to rejoice. I pray that we have none on the line that cannot rejoice when somebody else is healed. I don't have anybody on the airway that can't get happy even though your blessing didn't come this Sunday. You're next in line for a miracle, but you got to pass the test of celebrating somebody else this Sunday, so next Sunday when your time comes, that God will anoint or appoint you, or maybe even Wednesday, maybe doing midnight service or midweek service or Friday night prayer, whatever the case may be. Your blessing may be right next, but if you don't celebrate somebody else, your blessing may indeed be delayed. I love the portion of David. I love the portion of David that says that going through will bring you out. Going through will bring you out. Let me give you a short story of what God did for me. The most powerful message that I've heard in my 3 or 4 decades of preaching the Word of God and studying the Word of God. But I had the most powerful sermon that was given to me in about, I would say, 2 to 3 seconds. And I've had the opportunity to listen to some great men and women of God that preached the Word of God profoundly. I was visiting with my wife's aunt, who we hadn't seen in 20-some years because we were traveling all over the world. We're in the military, and we are overseas and on Asia and Europe and all over. And by the time we got back into the United States, settled down a little, we went to see her in Wilmington, Delaware. And at that particular time, she had advanced case of dementia. And so they told us that we could go see her. Physically, she seemed to be doing all right, but mentally, she had some problems. She definitely was not going to know who we were, because she can't even recognize her own children sometimes when they come in the room. And we were excited still about at least laying our eyes on her and being able to see her. As soon as we walked in the room, she said, "Here comes the preacher, and here comes his wife." And she called us by name. That took us back, because everybody was telling us she is not going to remember us. So now we're thinking that she's in her right mind, and she knows who we are, because she called me by my first name and called my wife by her first name, and it really just shocked us. When we got in the room, she looked at me and she said, "Come here, little preacher." I was pretty young at the time. She said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Come closer." And I got close to her. She said, "Bend over here." And I bent over the bed, and she gave me two words. Those two words were, "Don't compromise."
Mm.
After she said that, she went back into her dementia stage, not knowing anybody, which shook me up totally.
Mm.
Two words which I will never forget for the rest of my life. Most powerful sermon that I've ever heard in 3 seconds or less.
Mm.
Don't compromise. That has stuck with me, and I think it will stick with me probably until the day that I shut my eyes. I thought about Daniel at that point. Daniel did not compromise. He served his God. He believed in his God, and he worshiped his God. In spite of Nebo and all the other things that Daniel was going through, he served his God all the way to the point in where as a point where he and the Hebrew boys were facing death because he served his God. There's always going to be an outpouring of godlessness when you serve God. Again, there will always be an outpouring of godlessness when you decide to get real sincere and serve God. I just want to prepare the people of God on the airwaves that you are in for a fight. Sometimes you're in for the fight of your life when you decide to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Therefore, he tells us to put on the full armor of God. Why? Because we are moving toward the front line and the battle is going to get hot. And it will come from those, oftentimes, who we love the most, because those are the ones who can get closest to you. Back to Daniel. Back to Daniel. The king changed their names, remember. But it should not hinder your power or your influence on your God. Your name may change. People may call you names. People may call you things that's ugly and it's like you can't respond to who you know you are not.
Amen.
Our church do it so often. They respond to who they know they are not. If they call you a liar, you know you're not a liar. Keep your ID with you. You know who you are and whose you are. There's no need for us to waste our time going into something that really is not going to matter. But in the sight of God, if we just maintain our ID, flash your ID, wave your hand in the air, whatever your ID signal is, I am a child of the Most High God, and God's got me. And trust in it and believe in it. One of the things I love about these Hebrew boys is when we go over to the bold face, they were so bold about what they were doing, they didn't even fight when it was time to go into the furnace. They didn't kick. They didn't holler. They didn't talk about their innocence. They didn't even go through. They said, "Man, God got me. For God I live, and for God I die." What I loved about Daniel in the story is Daniel never got disrespectful towards any of those who were in authority. Never. And when God saw his spirit, God gave and increased his power even the more, because he knew something about authority. One thing that we can learn from the text is always yield to the authority that's there. God knows. God knows, and God will protect you because you understand the greatest thing that guides you, leads you, and pulls you, and that is authority. God says, "I can use you because you got the authority." Time and time and time and time and again in Scripture, he did it because he understood authority. When Moses got in the presence of God, Moses began to understand real authority, not Pharaoh, but the authority of the Lord, so he could do what the Lord says. Because he understood authority. When Paul was on Damascus Road, he really understood authority because he came and he says, "Lord, Lord, in the name of Jesus." He really recognized there's somebody that's higher than I. Daniel understood authority. When Daniel started to understand authority, power came to him. Each time, each time the men of God and the women of God start to yield and humble themselves to the authority of God, power comes.
Amen.
God even gives it to us in his word. If my people, he put that, if my people, that conjunct, if my people who are called by my name, that's the in the family of God, like these Hebrew boys, amen, would humble themselves to pray, speak my face, turn from their wicked ways, understand the authority, amen. When they really turn and get in the alignment with God, he said, then will I heal, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I heal the land, but not until. So we got some things to understand the authority of God, humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and wait for God to do the work. God will, in fact, do it. Let me take a break right here and just ask you, are there any questions before I move on? Anyone?
All mics are open.
Let me. If the lines are open, brother, let's. Anyone have a question? Come on, I like feedback.
Well, I liked the commentary on maintaining your ID, knowing who you are. God defines us, and we have to, and gave us our ID, we have to remember who we are. Someone calls you a liar. You know you're not. You don't have to respond to that. And be, you know, act in a godly manner. And we get all our strength, our direction, no matter how challenging scenarios can be or situations, God is with us. If we allow him to be and we follow him, and like you said, as far as being a good leader, you have to be a good follower.
Yes.
You're following a car, you're not going to go anywhere.
Amen.
Amen. One of the things that I meant to interject or interpolate is that one of the tactics of getting people on one accord militarily is to strip them of everything all the way down to the foundation and then build them up. I found in my spiritual life that oftentimes we have to use those same tactics is to strip people down from everything that they think they are down to the foundation and then build them up again, i.e., there are some times when elders, apostles, or whoever came from another ministry and they seem to be at the level of height level that they look down on people. Those type have to be stripped down and rebuilt, so that they can be restored and come in at the right tempo for God. The Bible tells us, so a man thinketh, so is he. Sometimes we think of ourselves as being high-minded to the point where nobody can tell us anything. That is damaging to the kingdom of God. I just believe this man, these young men, that God had anointed to show and to give us an example, a demonstrative example of how God wants us to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and even to those who have ruled over us that's not even Christians, that he's going to show up. Because what Daniel and these Hebrew boys are doing, they're turning a nation. They're turning a nation around to the point where the king himself eventually is going to say, look, I don't know about this thing I built that's 9 feet wide and 90 feet tall. I don't even know what it represents more. But as for me and anybody else around here under my kingship, we're going to serve the God of Daniel. We'll see that later on in the chapters when we start talking about the bold faith of these young Hebrew boys that went through. Let me just try to cover a few more stages. Have I got time, Elder Clay?
Yes, you do.
It is exciting to understand, it's exciting to know that when we stand for God, at the end of our stance, God will promote us. But we have to get through it. God does push us forward, but we have to get through the turbulence first. When Nebuchadnezzar found out that these Hebrew boys were 10 times better than anybody he had on his staff, here comes the adversary. And the adversary now is trying to find ways to take these young men out. So they schemed. So get ready for the schemeship. When you really get attached to God, get ready for the schemes of the adversary to come in and try to take you down. Don't think it's strange because people start coming against you. Don't think it's strange because things get a little harder. Don't think it's strange because you run into some resistance of folk that don't like you all of a sudden now because you have yielded all of your members to God. Don't think it's strange. Matter of fact, just look at it as the mighty plan of God. This is the plan of God. Now the adversary is going to come. Now I'm going to be tested. And when we are tested, we will, in fact, come out as pure gold if we hold on to the unchanging hand of God. I am a witness. I know God will bring you out of the stuff that you find yourself in, even when you think you can't pull yourself out. When we release and give it to God, God will. God certainly will pull us out of anything we find, any snare that we find ourselves trapped in. When Nebuchadnezzar heard that Daniel was not praying and these Hebrew boys were not following the decree, the mandate that he had set up with this false god, the Bible records that Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, got furious. He didn't know it from himself. He knew it from a report of other people that didn't like the fact that they were worshiping God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I find it peculiar and really amazing that other folks are the folks that come against God. That the king had no idea, him and himself. But the people ran and saying, hey, look, these Hebrew boys are not paying any attention to your authority. That's what got King Nebuchadnezzar furious. And so he called in the three Hebrew boys. That's where many folks, and when you remember on the first, I asked you how many Hebrew boys were there? Well, the three came. Daniel was at home praying in his window where everybody could see him. In his window where everybody could see him. That's another thing I love about God. The real sincere saints of God, they don't hide their eyes when they pray in public. They don't act like they're doing something else when they bless their food. They don't pretend that something else is going on when they bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all. I don't care who you're in front of. Never be ashamed of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So these Hebrew boys, they said, well, the leader is not there. The one who controls things is not there. And we caught these boys in here not bowing down. And Nebuchadnezzar got furious. Nebuchadnezzar, now look, read the story. They didn't even see these three Hebrew boys not bowing. They saw Daniel. And they said, all the Hebrew boys are following what Daniel's orders are. And so what we're going to do is ask you to dispose of these guys and throw them in a fiery furnace. But Nebuchadnezzar, he lost his mindset. He loved the boys because they were doing everything they said. And all of a sudden, it turned. And now he wants to destroy them and throw them into the furnace. But God shows up. The men, the strongest men they had, that took them to the furnace opening, were consumed. The strongest they had were consumed.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel is still at home praying. Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah now had to be thrown into the furnace. If we read our history, if we go through the commentary, we find out that the furnace must have been lower because they had to jump down into the furnace, not thrown up into the furnace. But the resistance that they thought they were going to get, they got the strong man because they thought that they was going to get resistance from these Hebrew boys, which they didn't. It tells us, don't, if you really trust God, you really don't have to fight too much of it. I mean, church folks fighting in service, church folk doing all, just embarrassing the kingdom of God, cussing each other out. The fighting and all the things that's really given the church a black eye has got to cease. So our Hebrew boys, were there, willing to go into the fire. And when they went into the fire, the Bible records when they went in, the king looked into the fire. He had to look in when his own men fell in and were consumed, because he didn't see nothing from them. But as soon as these Hebrew boys went in, they were loosed. Hello, somebody. The fire didn't burn it loose. They were loosed by the power of God. Why? Because the king saw someone else in there. He knew it wasn't Daniel, because Daniel wasn't there. So he said, this looks like the Son of Man. Now, how in the world did the king understand and say, this looks like the Son of Man? This looks like the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? How in the world would he come up with the mindset that this looks like the Son of Man, unless he had had an encounter before? So he must have had an encounter before. The authority had to come to him so he could understand that there is somebody higher than I, the king. And we know the story. The king now calls the boys to come out of the fire, and they were released by the power of God, just the three, not four, because the Lord don't have to yield to the king's command, because he's the king of kings. So you calling them. You ain't calling me. And the three boys come out, and the Bible records they didn't even smell like smoke. The clothes wasn't even singed, because God now has promoted them because of their sincere faith and bold faith in the Lord. I believe that God still performs those supernatural miracles when the enemy thinks he's got us pinned, when he really thinks he's got us to the point, whether you're sick, whether you're going through, if we really are sincere about Christ and put our faith in God, God will promote us and release us from the fires that we find ourselves in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thank God for being God in my life. I trust him for all things, and I doubt him for nothing. It's a powerful thing when we really study the word of God and get it in our system that God is everything that I need. If the Hebrew boys can do it, I know we can do it. So I'm asking you tonight, I'm beseeching you by the mercies of God tonight, those on the airways, to present your bodies a living sacrifice before the Lord, holy and acceptable. And guess what? It's just our reasonable service. So with your reasonable service, I pray that each and every one under the sound of my voice tonight will praise God miraculously, think about these supernatural wonders that he performed with these young Hebrew boys. And in your text and in your time that you hear the three Hebrew boys, remember their names. They didn't lose their ID, and we're praying that you won't lose yours. You have a different name now. You are a child of the living God. No more do they call you Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My name is Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, in the name of Jesus. So remember your name. Don't lose your ID. Walk with sincere faith, and let that sincere faith become bold before the Lord, in Jesus' name. God bless you tonight. Elder Clay, I certainly enjoyed being on again. It was a pleasure. I pray that the people of God received a word from the Lord on tonight. Blessings to you, sir. Back to you.
Thank you so much. And God bless you. Thank you. We do appreciate it. Are there any last comments before we close out? Any last comments before we close out?
Excellent word. Really appreciate it. May it touch all our lives. We give thought to these words and how the application to our actions.
Amen. Bless you.
Bishop, thank you for taking our time to come on to bless the body of Christ and just unpacking Daniel for us. Amen. It's definitely a blessing. Definitely a blessing. And the thing that I receive from it is, whatever we do, don't compromise on our journey. That's
Amen.
The thing that hit me most. Because the enemy is always trying to deter us, trick us, or whatever the case may be, but don't compromise. And whatever Amen. We do, make sure that we keep our ID. It's truly a blessing on my behalf. Those numbers who are here, I'm sure that they're being fed by the word. I don't hear anything from anyone, so I'm sure that they are have been fed, and I'm no doubt, without a doubt, that they've been full, because I know that that I'm full from the word. So thank you so much for taking that time. Amen.
Amen. Bless you.
Bishop Palmer, if you would close us out in prayer, and we do thank you once again. God bless you.
Amen. Mighty God, we thank you tonight for the people that have an ear to hear what the Lord is speaking into their spirit. We pray, Lord God, that their faith will become sincere. The foundation of God that they have anchored, Lord God, now let them build upon it. Let them know, oh God, with you they can do all things, Lord God, but without you it's impossible, Lord God. Without this faith, it's impossible to please you. So, Father God, strengthen their faith. Let it be a little bit more than a mustard seed. Just with the mustard seed, we have the strength to move mountains, Lord. Grow them up, Lord God, to the point, oh God, that they have that powerful, dudamous power within them, that they can able to speak to their issues, and they will run in the name of Jesus. Bless us now. Secure us with your precious love. Let us love one another in the beauty of holiness. Let us greet one another in the beauty of holiness, Lord. Let us be able to look and see our brothers and sisters as they walk up and down the street. There's just something peculiar about the people of God. As you say, 1 Peter 1:9, in the name of Jesus, bless them. Fill them with your precious Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, sir.
Man, God bless you. Please be reminded that you can go to the archive and pull up anything. Go to Blog Talk Radio and look for New Beginnings Ministry and type in We Can Begin Again. Share it with a friend. Amen. Be a blessing to someone else. Until we meet next Wednesday, may God bless you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Amen.
I have